All right, good morning, everybody. Those of you in the building, those of you that are online. We are starting, obviously, late this morning for Sunday school, but we're doing a little bit more casual this morning. We're not having our normal Bible study. Instead, today is Let the Little Children Come to Jesus Sunday, our kickoff for the spring holy days. And we are focused on kids. And so as part of that, we've got a special speaker for Sunday School today. It's Josh C., who is the director out at Michiana Christian Service Camp. And he's going to come up and offer some thoughts on the camp itself, bring a report from last night's love banquet. And then at some point, he'll just kind of open it up to anybody here in the building that has questions. If you're online and you got questions, I think you can probably check it and make sure. So put it in the comments section and Deb will see it within about 30 seconds. And then we can ask those questions as well if they pop up. So without any further ado, Josh, turn on your microphone, make sure it's on there, and then he's going to come and talk.
Perfect. Everybody hear me all right? I talk loud enough. I'm sure you'll be able to hear me. All right, my name's Josh. Who all have I met? Honestly, we met this morning. We met, yes. I have been at the camp for a couple of years now, and it has been a good move for us, and we are excited to see exactly what the camp is doing. What was great about last night at the love banquet was we got to hear from generations of people from our older generation all the way down to campers on exactly what the camp does, exactly what the camp has meant to them over the years. And it was so heartwarming being one of the newer guys, having only been there a couple of years, to hear the stories and how, you know, I've got Phil Weldy sitting next to his daughter Tabitha and just seeing how Christ has worked in each generation. And even Thomas can attest, you've been there, you told me this morning, 31 years.
31, yeah.
And what for you, what has the camp meant? You didn't know I was going to tell you that.
I didn't know I was going to do this. So I better get up here.
Sure.
I can be on the
microphone as well. So Michiana Christian Service Camp is like so many of the camps. I actually grew up with a summer camp down in Missouri that made a big difference in my life as a kid, because it gives you the opportunity to get away from it all, your normal routine. Mm-hmm. And then you've got these volunteer adults that have come in, and you don't even realize how much they've sacrificed in order to do this at the time, but they've come in to spend a week with you and to just pour Jesus into you through a lot of different fun activities as well. And so the camp out at Michiana, such a great environment and opportunities with the facilities there to engage these kids just makes a huge difference. I know every year I have to learn new names because I always am a camp family group leader and usually have like 16 to 20, depending on the type of which year it is, that are in the group. And so you spend quality time with them all week long. And so I still have campers coming back to me that I had when they were junior hires. They are now on the faculty with me. Mm-hmm. They volunteer. Or I see them at the launch or some other activity, and they're like, "Oh, Thomas, I remember when you were my camp father," and all this other stuff. Or, "You were in the cabin, and I remember you waking us up this way and that way and the other way." And so it makes experiences. Mm-hmm. And so there's my personal testimony for you about how Michiana, like so many Christian camps, right, is a place to make memories and to get Jesus more seated in, correct, people's lives.
Correct. And that's exactly what I wanted to hear. I mean, and that's perfect, because that is, I can tell you a story about Thomas last year, and he probably doesn't know that I was watching, but I do watch. We had, 2 years ago when I first came, we had a student, oh my word, it's hard when we do deans and faculties, because I want to say student. We had a camper named Liam. And Liam, 2 years ago, was very introverted. And Liam, 2 years ago, was hiding under the table at pools. Liam was in the fetal position in the grass, just not wanting to interact with anybody. So 2 years ago, and I love the transition here because 2 years ago he was in our fourth and fifth grade camp, and our dean in our fourth and fifth grade camp really took a hold of him and said, hey, you know, we want you to come. We want you to come have a fun in the pool and come do all of these different things. We really want you to just, you know, engage with everybody else. And it was hard for him throughout the week. And then by the end of the week, you know, Liam kind of stepped into the pool. He started playing a little bit. But it was the end of the week, so you didn't know what actually happened. But last year, Liam moved up, and you were at junior high too, correct? Liam moved into our junior high camp, and Liam was excited to come to camp. I talked to his mom. You know, I had been talking to his mom the year before. I talked to his mom again, and she's like, yeah, he's really excited to come to camp again this year. And then once camp got closer and closer and closer, she's like, he's getting nervous. So I was thinking I was going to see the same Liam. And then when I watched Liam throughout the week, yeah, he came out of his shell a little bit, but at night was always his problem. Night, he wanted to be at home. And so he would call, we let him call his mom at home. And so she could just reassure him. And it takes people like Thomas, to be able to come alongside of those kind of campers. And every night I would see Thomas out there with Liam, and Liam sitting there talking to his mom, and Thomas was able to build into him. I don't know what conversations you had with Liam, but as a director, being able to see that and see our faculty continue to pour into campers like that, we know that we're bringing campers continually closer to God. And that's what we want to do. We want to be able to take, you know, all kinds of campers that are coming to us and give a place for them to be closer to God and draw closer to Christ. That is one thing that has been impressed upon me over the last couple of weeks. I'm reading a book by John Mark Comer called Practicing the Way. And in the first part of that book, he talks about abiding in Christ. So what does that mean? You know, you look at abiding, we have an idea of what abiding in Christ might mean, but it really is walking with Christ daily and walking with him right beside you and not setting him by the door when you walk out the church, you know, but having him as being a part of your life. For me, that's a living not an American Christian life, but living a Christian American life and really making him a priority. And that's exactly what we want to do at the camp. And that is what we are going to focus on. We're going to focus on bringing those kids up as student leaders throughout their time at camp. From when they come to camp for us, because most of our kids will start off in first chance camp. Those are our pre-K and kindergarten kids. And a lot of them will go all the way until they graduate. And what we want to do every year is really bring that to them. It's like we want you to understand who you are in Christ, and we want you to become a leader. You know, while you're here, we want them coming out of camp having that desire to serve Christ in their life. If they do that at Michiana, great. If they do that outside of Michiana, even better. We want them to know who they are when they come to us and when they leave us and be able to better prepare them. Because honestly, if we're honest with ourselves, our world is not teaching that to them. And we want to be that difference in their lives. So Thomas said I was going to talk a little bit about Love Banquet last night. We were raising funds for a generator at the office. If you know anything about 2 years ago, we raised funds for a generator in the dining hall. The office is important to us because the office is basically what runs everything. If the office doesn't have power, you know, we don't have internet, we don't have phones, we don't have water. And so if the power goes out, a lot of times we will have generators, like portable generators, that we can take to places. But it is such a chore to actually do that for everything. A lot of times we'll wait, you know, 3 or 4 hours just to see, will the power come back on? Or is this a bigger issue? So for us, the office was one of those integral buildings that we needed to have power like that. We were able to, our goal last night, I think we put a $20,000 goal out there, knowing that that was going to be extra. I think our project, if I remember right, was around $11,000 or $12,000. And last night we were able to raise $15,550, which was a testament to, once again, the generations that we've seen come up through camp. And that is what we touched on. Eric Christian, he preached here a little while ago. Yes, Eric was here. Correct, yeah, but fairly recently. Has it been 6 months? Oh, man, it's going so fast. Eric Christian is our program guy. And Eric put a panel together last night that was dynamic. We had, you know, a camper. Our youngest was an eighth grader, all the way up to Phil. Phil is kind of like Thomas, you know, has been at and around the camp for 30 plus years. And what we do at the camp, like we talked about last night, we might have raised money for a generator, but that is not what, that money's going to go towards that, but it's about keeping the camp going. It's about keeping the ministry going, about what God is doing at the camp. And so, you know, you may look at that and say, hey, that's a physical thing. We can't do it without the physical. We can't do it without the volunteers. We can't do it without the facilities. And so being a, or having people come alongside of us to be able to keep those things going is integral to what we do. And that's exactly what I tell people all the time. It's like, we can't do it without everybody. Every one of our supporting churches, every one of our faculty, every one of our deans, volunteers, summer staff, you name it, if they're involved at the camp, we can't do it without them. So that was last night. Upcoming, we've got camp, and we are excited. I'm excited because this is the first year that I have seen that we've had an entirely full summer staff. So every year, you know, over the past couple of years, we've been having to deal with like one or two less. And it's like, we can do it. It's just not, there are things that will lack. Like the last 2 years, I haven't had a media person. Well, we have a media person this year. And it was really cool because we've been able to go down and go down to Grace Christian, the college down in Warsaw, and really kind of get involved with them. We've had several students come that way, and we're at a career fair this year down there. And there was one guy that came up, and we started talking to him about it. I actually had one of our students that was down there with us that started talking to us, or talking to him, and she's like, hey, come here. And I'm like, okay. So we started talking to him, and he's like, this is exactly what I've been looking for. He's like, you know, I've wanted a spot that I can work at the summer because I feel like, he's like, I'm a newer Christian, but I feel like a calling, like I really need to do something with the talents that I have, and this is exactly what I'm looking for. And it's things like that that encourage us, you know, to keep going with stuff like that. And that we're going to keep getting our foot in the door down at Grace. But we're going to bring him along this year and have that media person really be able to push our media to the next level. And that honestly, that's part of Eric's job. But for the summer, it will be good to have him that has that, he has that expertise to keep going. So just having a bunch of summer staffers like that, we want to pour into our summer staffers as much as we do our campers. I was at a conference recently in January where a bunch of us camps, we get together and we'll have different workshops and everything. And I remember sitting in one of the workshops and one of the guys that was in there asked a question. He's like, hey, what do we do to get our summer staffers to, you know, engage more? And I remember speaking up at that point in time and I said, we've got to stop treating our summer staffers like they're indentured servants. It's like, we have got to keep up with our summer staffers, not just in the summer, but we've got to keep up with our summer staffers throughout the year, because honestly, that's what we're called to do. We're called to be family. And so it doesn't just stop at the campers. We serve, you know, we have these summer staffers that will come in and serve with us. We have these faculty that will come in and serve with us, and we want to treat them as family just like we are the campers that are coming through. We want to minister to them as well. Because when it comes down to it, we're not separating ourselves and saying, hey, we're staff and we're campers. We're all one body. And that's something that we need to remember. What questions do you guys have going forward? Anything about the camp?
Any projects going on?
Oh, goodness, I always have projects going on. So generator's the one. Right now, I have a dock project going on. Who did anybody, you know Bob Millett? You would. Bob Millett, was he the original director?
They're on the site, I think.
Okay. Sure. So when he passed away, he left a memorial fund. And Troy, the director before me, he had a thought of putting an overlook or a dock out on the lake. And so we have that project going on right now. That should be done. Okay. There's half of a project. I won't get into the details of it. We'll be able to use the dock probably within the next couple of weeks. There's another pier that will come to the prayer garden that's waiting on a permit, but we'll still be able to use the dock within the next couple of weeks.
Is the dock down below the Vespers area?
No. So you know where the chapel is in the prayer garden. So it will come right off of the prayer garden into there. So that's one of the projects we have going on. I'm trying to think what the other ones we've got on the docket right now. We've got some smaller ones that we've got a couple of sheds coming in. All of this stuff is paid for. We just had our AV upgraded in the or audio upgraded in the dining hall. That was a huge upgrade, and we were raising money for that with 20K Day in November. And then we also had another one of our churches that sold their building that gave us a significant donation. We were able to pay for half of that with that too. My hope is to, if you're familiar with the camp, there's the upper pavilion. You're driving up the hill on the right, there's a pavilion. My hope is that was going to be phase two after the pole barn. And my hope is that we can start that at some point this year. But what I want to do is I want to enclose that and kind of make it a three-season room and a game room up there, also a meeting room. So whether it's a small group, whether it's a rental, if they want a meeting space that's closer to the cabins, that's going to be that room for them. That is one of my goals, to do that. What else have we done recently? We did the porch on the nurse's cabin. Was one of the projects that we accomplished recently because it was in desperate need. We just put new carpet up in the upper room above the dining hall. We put in a new phone system last year. We will eventually, once we get some of these smaller projects done, we're going to tackle a big project. And if you've probably heard about it because it was done a few years before I was. We still have three cabins we need to renovate. And that is, like I said, there were a few smaller projects I wanted to finish and accomplish before we tackled that. But it's something that I've had in the works since I've been here, though, too. And it's been, I've probably contacted 8 contractors in the time that I've been here to look and give us bids on that. The problem is when you go to a contractor and you say, hey, I need bids on this, but we're probably not looking at this for 3 or 5 years. It is really hard to get a contractor to say, hey, yeah, I'll put some time and effort into, you know, giving you a bid for this. So we've got one contractor that's given us a bid, another one that I have used and continue to use that is supposed to be giving us a bid soon. But we are probably looking at minimum $750,000 to get those all finished. Now, I will say, I think that is actually a little cheaper than the other two cost, which is a good thing. But you know, that's a big ask, but here's the thing, we've got a big God too. And so, you know, if we are faithful in what we're doing, I was talking to you this morning, you know, about what reading through Judges this morning. And it's like, if we are faithful and, you know, bringing things to God and we are faithful with sticking to God, with God and what he's telling us to do, I have faith that he is going to do those things. But it's a matter of staying with God and staying next to him and not taking things into our own hands, right? Okay. What are the questions? Y'all can't just sit and look at me and pretend like you don't have questions. Yeah, I know, right? You met your quota. Who knows anything else about the camp?
Why don't you talk about what Eric's doing?
Sure. Yep. So we brought Eric on in August. We created a new position. We normally would have just a program position. They would be in charge of all of the programming at camp. One of the things that became very apparent when I came in, and it's not just our camp. A lot of the different camps that are like us, that are involved with Christian churches and Churches of Christ, struggle with being consistent with the communications and media side of things. You know, today's world, you're talking social media. Facebook, Instagram, those are the two we probably have right now. I mean, if you talk to other people, they would say, hey, you need to be doing TikTok. And we're like, eventually we'll get there. But I wanted to be consistent with that. So I created a new position that was program and communications coordinator. And that's the position that Eric is filling now. So he has jumped in, and man, that guy is like a bulldog. I mean, he just goes full bore on everything. And I love it because I can give him a framework and say, hey, this is my dream and this is my vision for this position. This is the job description, you know, that I have for you, but I want you to be able to own that position. I want you to take it and run with it, and that's exactly what he has done. And he is forging a new path in that position. So the communication side of things is great for us. I love the fact that he is put forth and given me just like a schedule for the whole year. He's like, okay, this post is going up this time, this time, this time, this time. And then, you know, being able to put out those printed flyers that we send every church. I mean, you guys get them too. You have one right there. Yep, I brought a lot more too. So that has been huge, just being able to send that off to him and say, hey, can you do this? And he's like, I got it. And not have to worry about that. But he is doing a fantastic job in the position that he's in. He's still, I think, if you guys want to pray for him, honestly, all of us, but for him specifically, it is being able to focus on the path being forward, and that the vision for him is going to be very clear for him. Because right now, I think he's in that forging path mode where it's like the picture still isn't clear. And I can tell you after 2 years, the picture's still not completely clear for me, but it gets clearer almost daily of what a new position looks like. So for him, prayer for that would be great. Communication side of things, there was one thing that we did that is actually saving us quite a bit of money this year. If you notice, we're trying to move more to the digital side. Can I see that one for a second? More to the digital side of things, and this is kind of an example of that. And I have another example out there too. You notice the QR code here. We're trying to move, this one's for our family camp, which is coming up soon, but we're trying to move over everything over to digital where people are doing everything online. It is a pain when you have people doing things online and trying to rent buildings for family camp, and then you have people sending in, you know, paper registrations as well, and wanting the same building, you have to call them, sorry, this person got to it ahead of you, so we brought that all down to online. And the bigger thing that really saved us some money is I've got another little postcard out there that has a QR code. We were spending, I think, $4,000 a year to print off registrations and send out 2,000 registrations, paper registrations to people to send back. We'd only get 40 back during the year. And so for us, you look at that and you're like, that's a waste of money. There is no reason we should be doing that. So instead of the paper registrations, what we've done is we've put together these postcards. Once again, they have a QR code that will send people back to our website to be able to register. And that, I think, total probably cost us between $200 and $400 and not $4,000. So that was one of the ways that we've been able to be good stewards of our money and save a lot of money, is really kind of push people more towards the website and online registration. Another one of those communication things that we are trying to be the best that we can be at what we're doing. And honestly, that's kind of my focus is, you know, how do we take MCC and we take it to the next level? And that's in every aspect. So that, you know, the phone system, all the upgrades that we're doing, all of these are needed. I'm even looking at this point at the kitchen. It's like, okay, that kitchen needs help. So that may be one of the projects that we have coming up soon too. So just conquering a lot of the little projects, but also looking at the future. What does the future look like for us? Because honestly, I'm going to dive into a little bit of a different area here. We talked a little bit this morning while we were standing here. The way the camper ratios look right now is 50% of our campers come from our supporting churches. But 50% of our campers do not come from our supporting churches. And I expect this year that that's going to change to where campers that are not from our supporting churches are going to overtake the ones that come from our supporting churches. So what does the future of Michiana look like? And that's something that we have to be ready for. And, you know, that's something that we talk about, you know, as an executive board. It's like, what do we need to do to make sure that this camp stays viable and stays afloat? We had a camp last year that closed their doors that we knew of, and they sent us a generous check to be able to, you know, scholarship other campers that come in. But that needs to be a warning sign to us. It's like, you know, we see the future of what's going on, but it also paints a picture of what's going on in our supporting churches. It's like, you know, what kind of kids do we have that are coming in our doors? What are our churches doing for outreach? And then it, in turn, if you think about it, it really affects what we do as a camp. Because when we have campers, we only have them for a week, maybe 2 weeks out of a summer. But we're sending those campers back to churches, and how are our churches able to disciple those campers going forward? Because we can really only affect them during, you know, a week or two. So, you know, that's what we want to do, is be able to dive in with our churches and give back to our churches. Like, how can we help you? How can we help make your church healthy? How can we get our churches, not this church, all of our churches, how can we get our churches better prepared for outreach in their community? So those are some of the questions that we're talking about now, but that's something that we have to deal with. You know, even looking at the camp, say, I can tell you, we've had probably since I've been here, we've had two or three churches close of our supporting churches. I'm looking at two more that are on their way out. So what do we do as a camp to be able to move forward without those supporting churches? Yes, ma'am. That's one of the, we actually just had an executive board meeting about that, was a short-term camper growth board meeting. You know, how do we go beyond what was into what is now? And general public-wise, there's been talk about, well, first thing, the low-hanging fruit, what's the easiest thing for us to do? And so what we have done recently, just in the last couple of weeks, we're partnering with Angel Tree. You guys familiar with Angel Tree? So they have a camper program that not everybody knows about. And they will scholarship children of incarcerated parents to come to camp. And I just got that list this past week. I think we put a 100-mile radius on it. And it actually includes Chicago, too. But there were over 6,000 kids available. And that list comes to us, and they will actually send out correspondence to those parents telling them about our camp for free. And so that was one of those low-hanging fruit that's like, why would we not do this? So we're just now starting to participate in that program, and I could see that if we utilize that, and honestly, we could get our churches involved in that, I could see that being a very big program for us. But then the question after that was, well, what do we do with the communities around us? We've tossed around ideas. It's like, okay, maybe we should advertise at sporting events. I don't see that as something that would work well. It's good, but how do you look at that and say, hey, that's working? There's no way. I mean, you can't really say, hey, I'm going to advertise at a football game unless you're putting a survey out there. There's no way to tell if that's going to work. I would rather be involved with the community. On a personal level, say we're setting up a booth at festivals, you know, going to where the people are. On a grander scale, I would love our camp to become more than just a camp. I would love our camp to be a headquarters for outreach in the communities around us. And that goes back to that student leadership thing that I've talked about, where servant leadership, how are we equipping our kids to do that? What opportunities are we presenting for our kids to be able to do that in the communities around us too? So that gets beyond even the scope of what camp has been. So that's kind of my vision, is to kind of take that and do that. And a lot of that came from a board member and I took a missions trip to Poland, or we went over to Poland last year with a ministry that I absolutely love over there, and they do things right. And we were able to sit down with their leadership and really just kind of pick their brains and be like, you know, how do you guys, you know, what do you guys focus on? What do you do? And that's kind of what came out of that, was just building those kids up, you know, throughout the years and making sure that they have opportunities to serve and lead once they leave. So that's something I want to do, is really, and I've talked to community leaders too, of what opportunities do you have that we can jump into and we can serve. So that's kind of that, if it works and, you know, God decides to bless that, will put us beyond the scope of even summer. So for me, I would love to see the camp be a camp first, of course, because that's who we are, but two, a community of outreach. Does that kind of answer your question? What other questions? All right, you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I can definitely do that, and that will that will actually translate into some other things. We in the off season we open up our facilities for rental, and then on top of that, we'll have a couple of retreats during. We'll have a junior high retreat. We'll have a senior high retreat too. During the fall. But I want to talk about the rentals for a little bit as well, because honestly, our rental groups are what keeps the staff at the camp. They are basically what kind of pays our bills. If we're talking about summer, we don't make money off the campers. I mean, that's just not something that's ever really been a thing or ever been done. So to have four full-time staff members, our rental groups is what keeps us afloat. So for me, I am looking at those rental groups and saying, how can we as a camp diversify enough to be able to meet all of the needs of the people that are coming to the camp? I can tell you a lot of our groups that come in, well, not a lot. Some of our groups that come in are older people that really are not going to be able to climb up on the top bunk of a bunk bed. And so what facilities do we have? And this is kind of part of a bigger dream that I have is it's like, you know, what facilities can we create to be able to diversify and accommodate groups like that? So that's something down the road that's in kind of in my mind. You know, do we create a retreat center? You know, something that we can do with that. We also have... during the summer, we will have other churches that will say, hey, we want to rent your facilities so we can do our own type of camp. And like, we can't do that during the summer. But if we had a facility that we could do that during the summer, that would double our numbers and also increase our income too. So from a business standpoint, that's something that we have to do. We do offer, like I said, those retreats for the junior high and the senior high. And that's a good time to really just kind of reconnect with our campers. So they will come in for that weekend and just be able to hang with us, still worship, and man, everybody loves those retreats too. And we had a hoot last year because we had like a 20-inch snow right before junior high retreat. And we thought, you know, half these kids probably aren't going to show up. I mean, the weather was terrible. I think we only had one kid that didn't show up. We still had 72 campers out there. And we were able to utilize the sledding hill, which we never do. We can't do that. So it was kind of a blessing that we had that snow, and campers had a blast out there. So those retreats are special. We're hoping to add some retreats eventually in the spring, you know, be able to bring campers in there too. We want to make sure we're not like taking from the fall retreats just to, you know, supplement the spring retreats. But maybe if they can do both, that would be great. So that's really how we utilize it in the fall and the spring is just those rental groups that come in. Notre Dame is a big one for us. They bring in several of their halls. We'll come and rent out the camp. And that's been pretty consistent over the years. Questions? Any more questions? All right. Well, guys, thank you for your time. I will still be around. Thomas will speak a little bit more.
All right. Thank you, Josh. We are going to focus our prayer time during morning worship on the camp as well, and so we'll have him back up for that. And right before worship service starts, give you guys a heads up, there's going to be the little video presentation that's online for the camp, but we're gonna project it here and put it online for our live feed as well before we start our morning worship. Keep in mind that we've got a work day that's coming up for the camp on the 20th of April. So if you've got hand skills, energy skills for that, you can go and do that. And then you already talked about family camp. The QR code is on here for those of you that can do that. I always like to promote the launch. That's the first weekend in May. First Sunday in May the 5th this particular year, where a whole bunch of people go out to the camp and kind of get a chance to see the facility, and there's lots of inflatables and activities and food and stuff for kids that go. So if you guys have got local kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, your own kids, whatever, you can take them out there on the 5th, and that's also registration is going on at the same time out there. Online registration is going on now. When's the last for early registration?
May
15th. So it's the week after, or 10 days after the launch. So we will go ahead and pray, and then we'll break up and let everybody get ready for our worship service that's coming up here in about 18 minutes. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you for Josh coming here this morning, and I thank you for his work over the last couple of years with the camp, his family being there on site. I thank you for all the work that's now happening with the preparing for this new summer of youth camping. And I pray that you will put your blessing on every last one of those preparations and let everything come together. And I ask also that you prepare the hearts of those kids as they're getting ready to come, and that you will be with the adults that will be the volunteers meeting up with those kids, so that there will be encouragement and growth and spiritual impact. Also pray for the weather, Lord, that everything will go off without a hitch for all of those different groups. Now help us as we get ready to go into our worship service, and let it be a great morning for the Let the Little Children Come to Jesus Sunday. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.